Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Hello, and welcome to BSP Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we are an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast, and this is a minisode, and we are proud members of the Podmoth Network and all of the above.
All the things. and ouch, I just stabbed myself in the eye with my fingernail. And if this is your first time listening, a minisode we release every other week. So with a full episode, we release a paranormal topic with all kinds of interesting stories and information. Mm-hmm. In the interim weeks, we release a minisode, which is one story a piece that teases the upcoming topic. So it's kind of a game to see if you can guess what the upcoming topic is based on these two stories. And you're never going to guess this one ever in the universe.
Yeah, this one's going to be pretty difficult. But anyhow, and we should actually get this one out on time today, or tomorrow, should I say.
We're recording.
We have all kinds of shit going on. I do as usual, but we're recording early in the morning to get you get this out to you guys on time. So
yeah, we are remote again. Chris is heading out of town here as soon as we're done, basically. So
yeah, pretty much.
So we had to do a little remotey route.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's okay that this one's harder, because the last one, if anyone listens to our episodes, they should have guessed Phoenix Lights like right off the bat, I think. So
yeah, that's true. So should we get into our stories?
Yeah. Who wants to go first?
I don't know. Do you want me to go or you?
It doesn't matter to me. I think you went first last time.
Okay. Well, then go first.
Okay. I'm actually going to be playing a little game.
Oh,
so this is
okay.
Yeah, this is actually a part dukes of a previous episode. Part dukes. I'm good at the accents. So I did an episode or a minisode a while back, and I shared three patron saints who are the saint patrons of really bizarre things.
Yeah.
So this is actually, instead, this is saints who were just interestingly kind of weird. And I want you to guess what they're going to be the patron saints of.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to make one up and make me guess which one was real and which one
not. No, these are all real. But and I was going to say I was intending to do this to where they're the patron saints of something that seemed to have nothing to do with their actual lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually kind of are, some of them. So you're just going to get to guess and see if how close you are.
The patron saint of sex.
Of sex. That is on here. And yeah. It is Chris Chavez, Saint Cristobal.
Whatever.
Maybe we'll have saints with funny names, because the first saint is Saint Polycarp of Smyrna. So, Polycarp.
Oh, Smirnoff.
Well, it sounds like a Pokemon followed by a vodka. Polycarp of Smyrna.
Yeah.
Polycarp was a revered Christian leader who hobnobbed with John the Apostle and Ignatius of Antioch. When he was 86 years old, he was sentenced to death because apparently his persecutors were opposed to, you know, just waiting a couple of years, because he was going to die anyway because he was old. He was sentenced to be burned alive. But after being burned at the stake, the flames did not harm him, which is truly miraculous. Yeah, and that's actually happened to multiple saints. Maybe that would be something to cover in the future. So that'll be a hint to our listeners that that's not what it is. But there are multiple saints where flames did not touch him. However, this miracle did not apply to metal, because after he wouldn't burn, they decided to stab him to death with daggers. And he couldn't stop that. So that actually worked.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's terrible.
So, with all of that said, what is he the patron saint of?
Firefighters.
See, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But he is the patron saint of dysentery.
What? How is that even a thing?
Yeah. You know, okay. So this article that I'm reading it from, and it's on crack.com, it seemed to skip over some information that might have been relevant.
Okay.
Because it tried to act like that there was no connection. But for the last one, The Last Saint, I actually did a little more digging and found that there was a connection. But the article says, Polycarp may be asking the same question. Why am I the patron saint of dysentery?
Does that mean he's also the patron saint of the Oregon Trail?
Oh, that would make sense, yeah. Too. Well, actually, it wouldn't make sense. But even less making sense, he's also the patron saint of earaches.
So weird.
But the article's like, yeah, it's so weird. And it said he could have been the patron saint of, you know, like stuntmen, which would have been really cool.
Yeah.
You know? But it does say that historically, Polycarp was known as a teacher and a practical leader, not so much as a vessel for supernatural Pepto-Bismol. But much of his work was done in areas where people became afflicted with a disorder, and someone's got to be the patron saint of dysentery and diarrhea. So why not Saint Polycarp of Smyrna?
That is so random. That was just like, let's make him a saint of something, and let's just, yeah.
Didn't it feel like they had a big spinning wheel,
yeah,
with a whole bunch of disorders on it, and they just spun it, and they're like, dysentery!
That is so
weird. Yeah. So number two is Saint Theocra.
Number two.
I didn't see that. Well done. So Saint Theocra, his path to sainthood began with a lofty goal of living alone in the woods. The legend goes that he went to France and founded some woods owned by Bishop Faro, who offered him as much land as he could clear in one day. And I think if that's me, I might clear a bush. He agreed, and it said he used his magic spade to topple trees and uproot bushes. A local woman claimed witchcraft, but Bishop Faro declared it a miracle instead. So he got a giant piece of woods, but he did fail miserably at being alone because he built a hospice and used his miraculous healing touch to cure anyone in need, unless you were a woman.
Oh.
He did ban all women from his sacred place.
Fuck the patriarchy.
Right, exactly. So I guess, I mean, he did, well, I don't know, he did some good, but fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah.
So what is he the patron saint of?
Misogynists.
Close. STDs.
Okay. Well, that's what,
spin that wheel.
That's what he gets for being a misogynist.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to give you a good one. You're gonorrhea fiacra. But it does say, as a sacred healer, he could cure blindness, leprosy, tumors, and more all by touch. And more includes venereal disease. So I guess he's sexist, which is awful. But sometimes back then, those people would refuse to touch anybody with an illness because they thought they were, you know, gross and evil. And at least he did that.
And I'm sure a lot of those STDs did lead to blindness, et cetera, whatever you said earlier.
Oh, that's very true. That tumors and all the crap.
Exactly.
The article finally says his patronage was assigned to the ailments he healed, which means a lot of happy endings for 7th century dongs. And finally, we have St. Genesius of Rome.
I like that name.
Yeah, and the story is actually pretty cool. I kind of want to do some more research on it because he was an actor, and he was the leader of a theater troupe in Rome who performed in plays that mocked Christianity.
So, like Commedia dell'arte, maybe?
What?
Commedia dell'arte. It's a theater form back in the early days.
Are you saying chlamydia?
Commedia, like comedy.
Oh. I was like, chlamydia of arcs. It's like that. That's the last dude. We moved on to this dude.
Commedia dell'arte. Yeah.
So intending to expose Christian, he was trying to expose Christian religious rites to ridicule by his audience, he pretended to receive the sacrament of baptism during one performance. But when this happened, he actually had a conversion experience on stage and experienced a real baptism right there on the stage.
It was like flash dance.
And he's like, do, running in place. Yes, that's the image everyone needs to conjure right now. And right there, while dancing in the splashing water, he announced his new faith, and he refused to renounce it, even when he was ordered to do so by the emperor. He persisted in his faith, and he was finally beheaded.
Wow.
So, yeah. So what is he the patron saint of?
I would say actors based on the first part of his life, but that would seem too obvious. So,
well, you remember what you said, the chlamydia thing?
Yeah.
Use that. What did you say in that? Use that to find the word.
Chlamydia?
No, the second part of it.
Dell'arte?
No, what was chlamydia supposed to be?
Comedia.
Yes.
Dia.
No, comedy.
Oh, comedy. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a patron saint of comedy.
That's weird, because he didn't leave a very comedic life.
That's what the article said, and I'm sure there's more to it, but I kind of like, since I try to be silly, I kind of liked him. And those are my three saints.
Those are
all three saints.
Very interesting, and I want to know how the Catholic Church decides what they become the patron saint of, you know?
Yeah, me too. I don't know. Sometimes maybe there's a hole somewhere that needs filled, and mm-hmm. so they get the patron saint of.
That's what she said.
But and I think that this is like, man, saints are just ripe, like, are great material for topics, because some of these saints did all kinds of
weird
miraculous things. Yeah, so yeah. We could focus on that. But anyway, it's your turn.
Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm Catherine.
And I'm Haley.
And we are Saturdays Are for the Ghouls,
a podcast on the PodMoth Network.
We cover all things spooky, like horror movies, true crime, the supernatural, and spooky stories.
In the most chaotic way possible.
So join your favorite ghoul friends every Saturday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
And become a spooky babe.
So spooky babes, we'll see you in your nightmares.
Well, first, there'll be a slight trigger warning in this one because it's pretty violent and awful, but I think it's worth hearing. So in this story, I'm talking about a group of women known as the Martyrs of Compiègne. The story begins with the Civil Constitution of the Clergy, which was a law passed in 1790 during the French Revolution that outlawed religious life.
Okay.
It's a lot more complicated than that, but that could be its own episode. But anyways, I digress. In a commune not too far from Paris called Compiègne, there was a group of Carmelite nuns. On August 4th, 1790, government officials and their armed guards came to the commune. There, they interviewed the nuns one by one, and because of the law that I previously mentioned, the nuns were told that they had to break their vows or they would be severely punished. The nuns, being devoted to their faith, of course, refused to break their vows and were then allowed to stay at the convent. Not shortly after that, the nuns began receiving government pensions, but the government, enforcing their shitty law, said if they didn't adhere, they would lose their pensions. Fast forward to Easter of 1792, when the government started invading churches and interrupting services because of this law. The convent's prioress suggested to the nuns and the people of the church that they sacrifice themselves by not giving up their religious life, which would eventually led to their execution. Soon after, she was arrested along with the nuns. A few months later, the government ordered that the convent be closed, which meant the sisters were unable to return, being forced to leave the convent for good. The prioress made arrangements for the nuns to hide in the city. The nuns also dressed in civilian clothes so they wouldn't be noticed. After about 2 years of this, the government began searching the apartments the nuns were staying in. There, they found letters that proved that they were breaking this insane law. These letters were used as evidence that they would not denounce their vows and that they continued being religious Christian women. The nuns were found shortly thereafter, arrested, and first taken to a local jail before being transferred to the prison in Paris while they waited for trial. The trial eventually started, and the nuns were not provided legal counsel. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. During the trial, the prioress took full responsibility for the charges against her and the nuns. When all was said and done with the trial, the sisters were sentenced to death, 16 nuns in all.
Ooh.
Following the trial, the nuns were made to wait 26 days before their untimely end. Finally, on July 17, 1794, the nuns were taken to the site of their execution. On the two-hour journey there, they sang religious songs, and the people in the street started yelling and throwing things at them, just, you know, berating them the whole time. When they arrived, a crowd gathered to watch the executions, as was a tradition back then. The sisters gave the guards forgiveness and were said to show no fear. One of the youngest nuns began a chant of religious text, which was cut short by the guillotine. Yep. One by one, the 16 nuns went the same way. They would first approach the prioress and kiss the statue of the Virgin Mary she held in her hands, asking her permission to die. One of the oldest nuns was using a crutch and could not get up into the line. As a result, a guard threw her to the ground, where she thanked the guards for not killing her.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if she died in the article that I read. They didn't say if they actually did kill her after that, but she didn't get guillotined for sure.
Okay, interesting.
After the execution was completed, the nuns' bodies were buried along with 128 other people that were executed that day for various reasons. Because their remains were not separated, no relics survived from the nuns from this particular event. Today, in Picpus Cemetery, lay 1,306 bodies of people who were guillotined and buried there, including the nuns. A plaque with their names marks the place where they are buried. The sisters were finally beatified on May 27, 1906. This was also of importance, as they were the first martyrs of the French Revolution that were recognized by the Holy See.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Many believe that the sisters' execution resulted in the end of the Reign of Terror in France, which ended 10 days later after Maximilien Robespierre was himself executed. The story has been immortalized many times in books and movies, and also, where I first learned of it, a French opera by Francis Poulenc called The Dialogues of the Carmelites, which is a fictionalized account of the story that was completed in 1955, premiering a year later. And there you have the story of the absolutely senseless execution of religious nuns for refusing to give up their vows.
Wow. So this is a popular story?
Yeah.
I guess?
Yeah. It's been, like I said, I learned from it from an opera that I saw, and the opera is beautiful and heartbreaking, because at the end you just see them step off one by one being executed, you know, while singing the Salve Regina or something like that.
It's so crazy because, you know, of course, growing up Catholic, but also my parents were involved in a Carmelite group.
Yeah.
Whenever I was growing up, and every month we would drive to Amarillo and they would go to like a 3-hour meeting mm-hmm. with the Carmelite nuns. And so I would have thought that along that way, I would have heard about this at some point.
And you never knew this story?
And I never knew it. No.
Yeah.
I literally just said, I'm going to have to ask my mom. But that's going to be difficult. I'll save that for a seance episode, I guess.
You could ask your sister if she ever heard of it.
Yes, I am. I'm going to ask my sister. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, everyone, enjoy the minisode. Let us know if you have any incorrect guesses.
Yeah, guess and let us know what you think. So.
Yeah, it's a hint. It's a very specific aspect of Catholicism yeah. we found that is pretty crazy, actually.
That I knew nothing about, but I'm very interested to dive into it. So,
yeah, it's going to be really cool. So, everyone, give us your guesses. We're going to let you go. Tune in. Have a great week. And bye.